Welcome back to Reaching the Summit Women's Basketball Podcast. It is quite literally Summit League Tournament Week.
I can't believe it. We're here. We made it.
27 hours from now, exactly. It's 1:30 p.m. exactly. 27 hours from now, the first game will tip off.
We're here. I can't believe it. And the awards just got announced.
Yes, we
are an hour or so ago.
Going to talk about those. We are going to start with those. Coach of the year goes to Aaron Johnston. I think no questions there, no arguments there. No. That was pretty given. Player of the year to Grace Larkins, also pretty given. Super cool to see what she's done. I almost said this semester. You can tell my brain is in school mode this season.
I suppose this semester with conference play.
Yeah, that counts. Defensive player of the year to Fatima Ibrahim. Oh, I should tell you where these people are from. Grace Larkin's obviously USD. Defensive player of the year to Fatima Ibrahim from UND. Newcomer of the year to Jaw Harvey from Omaha. And sixth woman of the year to Jaylee Oglesby of ORU. Jaylee is the fourth player in ORU history to win that award. And she is the second player in Summit League history to win it in back-to-back seasons. So. Wow. Back-to-back sixth women of the year for Jaylee Oglesby. Do you want to take the first team, Jordan?
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, I got to scroll up. All right. All Summit League first team. We had Talay Jones from ORU, junior guard. Avery Conan from North Dakota State, a sophomore and a forward. Grace Larkins, USD, senior and a guard. Brooklyn Meyer, SDSU, junior and a forward. Paige Meyer, SDSU, senior guard. And then Jaylee Oglesby, ORU. She's a junior and she's a damn good guard.
Sure is. She's only a junior.
Yep.
Better watch out.
Redshirt junior, sorry.
Better watch out next year.
Maybe she can start unless she wants to go for the three-peat of the sixth woman of the year.
You know what? We talked about that in the interview with Coach Kelsey Music that our fans are going to hear
for sure
later today. I know you weren't there, but she said people ask why Jaylee comes off the bench, and she has a good reason for it. So obviously things could change next year, but it seems to be working out well the way that they're doing it. Second team, Grace Cave of Omaha, Elena Contreras, Kansas City, Abby Draper, NDSU, Jordan Jones, Denver, and Kira Pemberton, UND. And then honorable mentions, Jaw Harvey from Omaha, Jade Hill, and Joe Langbin, and Amber Scalia, St. Thomas.
Wow.
I personally thought, sorry, something really loud just went by on the road. I personally thought, not to start any fights or nothing, I thought Joe Langbin should have made second team. Or Amber or Jade, really. I thought one of them deserved to be up there, but is what it is. And then Haley Timmer, who also arguably could have made second team. I know there's been some chit chat about that already in our group chat and on the Twitter. Go ahead with defensive, Jordan.
Yes, the all defensive team is Mesa Bayoum out of SDSU, senior forward, Fatima Ibrahim. Is it Ibrahim? I'm sorry. Yep. I don't want to keep butchering names.
Yep.
Out of UND, she's only a sophomore in the center. Grace Larkins, USD, senior guard. And then both of the Myers from SDSU, Brooklyn being a junior forward, Paige being a senior guard. I have no issues with that defensive team. That is as rock solid as it gets for the best defensive players in the league.
Absolutely. All newcomer team, Jaw Harvey from Omaha, Molly Lenz, NDSU, Ana Oliveira Diaz from Kansas City, Aaliyah Moore from Omaha, and Laya Monclova from Denver. What are we missing? Freshman team.
Freshman.
Marissa Frost from NDSU, Alyssa Sand from St. Thomas, Jossie Schiller from North Dakota, who is the freshman of the year, by the way. I forgot to put that earlier in our Google Docs. So North Dakota's Jocelyn Schiller wins freshman of the year. And then Katie Vasica from SDSU and Harriet Ford from Omaha.
Yeah. I'm curious your thoughts. I think overall, Well, first of all, congrats to all the student athletes for earning their awards and their teams. I don't really have any issue for the most part with this stuff. You're always going to have conversation with the honorable mention and second team. I feel like there's the first team is pretty rock solid. I'm the only contention I have, and I've been vocal to you about this, was the defensive player of the year. Nothing against Fatima, but I just thought Grace had the stats in defensive rebounding and being number three in steals. But clearly, I mean, Fatima with the blocks having almost triple the amount of the next person in line in the blocks category, helped propel her to win that, and well deserved. But that's honestly, like, just because we cover the league and we kind of have to pick at this a little bit now that it's this time of year, that's like my only contention with it. But still, congrats to everyone. It's not a down year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like we've said, voting is subjective. People look at certain things. Some people, you know, think that everyone on the best team. Some people think, like, I know some people probably were unsure about Grace Larkins being the player of the year because she is on the seventh best team in the league. I certainly was not. That is who had my vote. I also did vote for her for defensive player of the year. Seeing Fatima's block number, I don't rescind my vote for Grace, but I maybe should have taken a little bit more time to look at that. And it all depends on what matters to you as a voter, right? Are defensive rebounds more important? And that's where I came in with my vote for Grace, was like what she does on both sides of the ball is freaking insane. But yeah, Fatima's block numbers are wild, bro.
They're insane. I think, I had it 30, and she's a sophomore here. I got it pulled up here. So she had 39. This is just conference play. 39 blocks. The next person is Sammy Opichka from St. Thomas at 16.
Wow.
Sophomore.
Yep. Yeah, wow. Other places that I differed from the results, just that little kind of flub at the end of second team, I had a different name or two there that I thought deserved that instead of an honorable mention. Was that it? I think that was it.
That was, yeah.
I think I voted with how the awards came out for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of proud of myself for that.
Yeah, I think, and again, I think the first team was pretty solid.
Like, yeah.
Those are the best players in the league. And it's not like there's a huge line in between first and second team either.
Right.
But yeah, all of the individual awards, like Jocelyn winning freshman of the year. Like, I know there's contention that we've heard about with Katie from SDSU, but I just, the stats, as we've seen, and really the eye test, if you haven't watched Schiller play, she had my vote as freshman of the year.
Yep.
Which ended up being our vote, I guess.
Probably. Yeah. Our vote. Yeah. There's always going to be, like, when we talk about subjectivity, there's the argument. I was talking to my dad about this the other day. I said, yeah, there's an argument for certain players to be defensive player of the year, even though their stats aren't there, because their team is more balanced. So they're spreading the love more. I get that. But, like, there's also an argument for a player, like, if we're talking about freshmen, for a player like Jossie Schiller, who made such an impact. UND. I didn't sleep last night. I've been doing homework, okay? UND doesn't win the games that they won without Jossie Schiller. And I think that's the difference. It's not to say that Katie Fasica didn't make an impact on her team. Yeah. She certainly did. I just think that Jossie Schiller made more of an impact, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a pause here and we're going to drop in our first coach interview. I haven't decided who it's going to be. You're getting a little bit of a roulette between either going to be Kerry Banks of Omaha, Kelsey Music of ORU, or Aaron Johnston from SDSU. I talked to all three of them yesterday, so you're getting three coach interviews in this episode. And whichever one I decide to drop in here first will be the one. This is how we make you listen to the whole episode, so stick around. We have Kelsey Music from ORU with us. Coach, thanks so much for coming back this season.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Your team is super high energy. They're super scrappy. They're so fun to watch. What's been your favorite part of your own team this regular season?
I mean, I just think that they're playing so well together. I think last year we had 10 new players, and so this year they have more camaraderie, just having those returners and that maturity and the understanding of our expectations, our offensive system and how we want to play. They've really just embraced that, and they're starting to take ownership. So it's just been really fun to watch them be able to, you know, fight through some adversity, to have some, you know, highs and lows, but still be able to rally together. And, you know, and there's been some games where we've just had to find a way to win. And there's others where we're just kind of clicking on all cylinders. But no matter what, they're just a really just an amazing group of young women, and they're just a blessing to be around.
Absolutely. And that's a great segue, because what we've seen from your team this season, I would argue, is a bit reminiscent of what we typically see from SDSU, where you have 4, 5, 6 girls that can knock down shots, defend the ball, switch roles at a moment's notice. And we've seen you kind of build that over the last few years. So what's your take on, I guess, where you've been and what your goal is going forward?
You know, one thing with our offensive, our high octane offense, is just being able to have multiple players in double digits. So to have 5 players in double digits on a regular, not necessarily having the exact same high point score every single night, but just being able to share that role and just, you know, being able to still force the issue, get to the rim, but knock down some more threes. It's just a player style, I think. I think players love being in that environment to where they can use their God-given abilities to make plays, but yet they still play within the roles of the system. And they do a good job of sharing the basketball as well. So I just think having 5 players or more being able to score at any given point, at any given moment, makes it really hard for people to defend you. And I just think that my players are really starting to embrace that, and they have a better understanding of our offense. And I think that has been put on display this season.
Yeah. And you're one of a few teams that has less than 5 losses in the conference season. And a couple of those for you were 1, 2, 3 points. What's kind of been the one thing that was maybe missing from those games that you need to take with you into the tournament?
You know, I thought, you know, 2 of them were road games, obviously. A couple of them were road games, but 2 of them in particular, I thought that our defensive intensity let down. Obviously, we're one of the high-octane offenses. We're one of the better scoring offensive teams in the league. But when we play as a unit on defense and we pick up our defensive intensity, it usually translates into better offense for us. And so I think a few of those games that we did lose, we just didn't, you know, stay, you know, buckle down and strap down and just really focusing on being a unit and helping each other on defense and, you know, just executing that defensive game plan, which ultimately leads to points for us usually.
I want to give you a chance to talk about a couple specific players. Obviously, we have to start with Jaylee Oglesby. Her name's been everywhere since she joined the team. What can you say just about her impact and who she is on and off the court?
Jaylee's a phenomenal person on and off the floor. She's silent, but she's deadly. You know, I call it the Jaylee jumper. You know, a lot of people are probably wondering, like, why does she come off the bench? But she still logs just as many minutes. But I think the biggest thing is she creates such havoc when she comes off the bench, because the opponent has to be thinking, oh, no, here's the one of their best scorers coming, where sometimes there could be a drop off when you initially sub and there isn't for us. We bring in such a high powered, prolific player that's going to go get us points. And that's, in my opinion, it kind of sucker punches the other team. And, you know, she can go get 8 to 10 quick points for us real easily. And then that just helps our momentum. It helps us really take charge in the early, you know, stages of the game. And then, you know, we usually, you know, ride that out. I think she can get loose against zones. Her mid-range game is just deadly, and letting her get down that right lane line. She finds a way to score. She's gritty. She's tough, and she might be undersized, but man, she is, I just love her fight. I love her grit. I love the fact that she is, you know, when the ball's in her hands, you know, she's going to find a way to score. And then, you know, if they start trapping or doing something, she's going to find a way to get the ball to her teammate that's open. And she's just such a dynamic scorer, and she does so many things for us. But, man, her jump shot is definitely something that everyone will remember her by.
Absolutely. Someone else that really surprised Jordan and I this season is Mekhyra Trimble. It could be blocks, rebounds, steals, points. You're going to find them in her stat line. So what can you say about her as an addition to the team?
You know, just having her healthy is a huge blessing. Last year, she wasn't healthy. We never got her, you know, 100% in my opinion. And so to have her 100% this year, I know what she's capable of. I got to watch her play as a true freshman for me at SWASU. And so to see her grow, I think her IQ is something that most people probably don't give her enough credit for. Her passing skills are top notch. I mean, she's going to find a way to get the ball where it needs to be. Even if she's slowing down my offense here and there, she's going to find a way to get the ball where it's supposed to be and make phenomenal passes and share the ball. But yet she can still shoot the three and she can create to the rim. So I think she's just been dynamic for us. Once she understands the offense, understands our expectations and knows me so well, I think that's a huge leadership role that she's been able to take on and be able to really help us grow in that aspect as well.
Jordan and I like to ask fun questions here. So we want to know if you've ever been starstruck before, and if you have, who was it?
I don't think I have really. You know, the one thing is I did when I was in my early 20s and I was a DOPS at Fresno State, we hosted a regional, and this is a basketball thing, but I thought when I was in my 20s, I thought it was pretty cool. I wasn't necessarily starstruck, but I thought it was just an awesome opportunity. We had like the likes of LSU, NC State. So I got to meet Kay Yao, and then Connecticut was in our region, and it was cool because I got to watch them practice. I asked them like, hey, I'm a young coach. I'm trying to learn. And, you know, Gino let me watch a practice. So that was just a cool moment as a young coach where I got to just observe and learn and take it all in. And those kind of moments, you just, you know, you don't forget about.
Yeah, absolutely. I could agree with that. Doing the podcast, I've had a couple chances to be credentialed for the NCAA tournament in basketball and in volleyball, and being in the room with Ray Bouchard, who is a volleyball coach at Kansas. Like, I'm asking Ray Bouchard a question. I'm asking Kenny Brooks a question when he was at Virginia Tech. Like, I don't even understand how that happened. So I could totally, totally agree with that. All right. Last question for you. And you may have alluded to this a little bit earlier, but it seems like there's 2 to 3 teams, maybe 4, that could really contend in Sioux Falls this weekend. I can't speak. Sorry. I forgot what word I was trying to say. SDSU obviously being kind of the top dog, but we've seen you guys make some runs. We've seen NDSU this season and maybe even St. Thomas. So what do you think? I know you alluded to your defense, but what do you think it's going to take to really put it together and be able to take it home this weekend?
You know, we definitely have to play as a unit and our defense has to pick up, but we do a really good job of scoring at a high rate. So we can't lose our identity and not focus on who we are and what we do. And that's really forcing the tempo, pushing the pace, getting some transition buckets and scoring at a really high rate. That's who we are, but we've got to bring the defensive intensity and be able to get some stops here and there, because that's what will hopefully allow us to separate. And then we've got to, you know, get back to winning rebounding wars. I think there's been a few losses that we've had that we didn't rebound as hard as we needed to. So, you know, you got to play as fearless and flawless as you can each opportunity, because it's, you know, survive in advance time.
Absolutely. And it's hard to beat a team 3 times, but that's what you're going to try to do on Thursday. All right, folks, that's Kelsey Music with ORU. They will play USD at 12 p.m. on Thursday in Sioux Falls at the Denny Sanford Premier Center. Coach, good luck. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Kelsey Music of ORU. So great to sit down and chat with her. ORU has been kind of building and building and building and kind of right there, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
A couple games they maybe shouldn't have lost this season, but they are a contender.
She's passionate at what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's so good at it.
Yep.
Yep. And she's one of those coaches, like, her interview was one of the shorter ones we did this season. But that's just because I don't want to say she doesn't elaborate, but like, she gets to the point. I'll ask her a question. She'll give me an answer. She'll give me the evidence or the example, and then it's boom, next question. And I kind of like that. Like,
no, I don't know.
I like that about her. I like how pointed she is. She's very, like, very, like, powerful woman. I'm here to get the job done, and I respect that.
Sounds like a woman who's coaching a team on a mission.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over they've the next several days.
Been on a mission. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about game one, game two, and game five. Let's start with those three.
Okay.
If you have your handy dandy bracket.
Got my handy dandy bracket.
Handy dandy bracket. We're so weird.
I know.
It's mostly me, but you get dragged into this.
We're so weird. We actually have to turn down sponsors. That's like.
That's why we don't have any sponsors.
That's why we don't have any. We're very selective.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Game one. No surprises here. We've seen this game one before. I can't tell you how many times. Number 8, Omaha, and number 9, Denver. Now, I said this in the interview that you'll hear with Carrie Banks at some point today. I've said this on Twitter. I've said this on the episodes. I know that you think, oh, the 8-9 game's not going to be very good. I don't want to guarantee anything because I don't want to get sued, but it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be a game.
Mm-hmm.
Omaha and Denver split this year. They usually do split in the regular season. I don't know. I just think it's going to be a game.
If Denver can shoot the three-pointer like they did in the first half against USD.
Yeah.
They're dangerous.
And that's something that Carrie mentioned. Like, Denver's coming in on a tear.
Yeah.
They're playing good basketball right now. You know who else is playing good basketball right now? Omaha. They've been going up and up and up. And we talked about that.
Yeah. Give me one sec here. I wanted to just pull up the last 10. It's not anything shiny, but Omaha's 4-6 in the last 10. Denver's 2-8. But the last few games, both teams have been playing a lot better. They're not. Yeah. Necessarily they're limping into the tournament,
playing more like they have nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah, this one's gonna be fun. I mean, if you've got the tickets and can get off work early and head to the Denny and watch this game, I would. It's gonna be physical, it's gonna be fast.
Predictions. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
And we don't need to do a disclosure because we love all the coaches. We love the players and the teams. This is fun, but we gotta make
a choice.
We're making a choice here.
Yep.
I'm going, go with Denver.
Okay.
I'm going with Denver to win. Do we want to do scores?
Yep. I've got
where it makes it even more impossible. Okay.
And a score in my head right now. Yep.
All right. I'm going to go Denver. Let's see. I'm going to go Denver 62, Omaha 59.
Okay. I'm going Denver 68, Omaha 67.
Okay.
I thought you were going Omaha. I'm a little surprised.
I was going to go with Omaha about an hour ago.
You changed your mind.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, Ja is probably going to have a game.
She's going to have the game of her life, dude. I just feel
she's going to have the game of her life. And I don't know. I just got that. I don't know.
You know what, though? Do you know what I think advantages Denver? Omaha has maybe limped their way into the tournament a couple of times and then got really hot. A few years ago, they beat SDSU in the opening round. We've seen Carrie take her team to the championship game 2 times in the last 5 years. Denver has come into that first round and been so close, so close, so close, yeah. So close, and cannot get out of the first round. So I really just think they're due to get out of the first round.
This is a really bad prediction by me. I feel like I'm doing the Tony Romo, like, oh, what do you think? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. That is game one. That will be at 4:30 p.m. tomorrow. I cannot believe I'm literally saying tomorrow. Yeah. Let's go to game two, number two, ORU, and number seven, USD, 12 p.m. Thursday.
You want me to go first?
I'll go first since you went first last time.
Okay.
sorry to break your heart. Yeah. Just, that's my disclosure or my disclaimer. I'm going to go ORU 89, USD 67.
That's damn close to
what you were going to say.
Yeah, so my heart obviously would have USD cutting down nets on Sunday afternoon. But my head with this, it's been the effort overall from USD the last few games. It just seems like some players are kind of mentally checked out. I think Grace goes out magnificently. I think she has a Grace game. But I have ORU winning this one 84-69.
Okay. I like that. A little bit closer.
Yeah.
I might be a little ambitious in how much I think ORU is going to score, but they do score that much quite often. So
yeah, any ORU game, I'm not picking below 80.
I just don't think USD has the defense to slow them down for 40 minutes.
Now, it's been a week, or excuse me, it'll be, you know, sometime, but I think by the end of the game, unless Carey changes the style where she goes 8-9 deep, which she hasn't really for extended minutes, right? Like three or four of these gals are playing over 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think the legs will be there at the end against this ORU team.
Yep.
Again, my heart hopes it, but
and that's
ORU is just too dang good.
What right ORU now has that most teams in the league don't do is extra legs.
Yep. No, like I said briefly just a few minutes ago, this team ORU just seems on a mission and get out of the way. So yeah, I've got USD losing by 15, ORU winning by 15 there.
All right, game five will be number three, North Dakota State, and number six, Kansas City, on Friday, 25 minutes after game four, which is at 12. So we can think approximately 2:45, maybe 3-ish, somewhere in there. God, this one's tough for me because I know Kansas City can do it. I know they can do it. We've seen them do it. But I don't know. But NDSU traditionally hasn't played that well when they get to Sioux Falls either.
Mm-mm.
I have no idea what to do with this one. I have no idea what to do with this one. I went first last time, so you go first.
All right. I am going to go with kind of flipping, right? Like NDSU historic, like not quite getting the job. I think that they've got the talent, the athleticism. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really like Kansas City and the way they play. And the youth, but the youth for NDSU might play fast. You know, this is going to be absolutely dead wrong, but I think NDSU is probably trailing at halftime, maybe, you know, get those jitters out. And then Jory at halftime maybe says some things and gets them fired up. I have NDSU. I'll have them winning 77-68. The 9-point game.
Okay, 9-point game.
At least it. Yeah, 68 is what I wrote. 77-68.
I'm going to go NDSU 71-64.
70 what?
64? 71.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take
that was tough. That's a tough one, though.
That's a tough one, yeah. And we've got more tough ones coming up. So we're going to take another break and let you listen to another coach interview so that Jordan and I can prepare our minds and hearts for the predictions that we're about to make. Let's see. Whose interview do I want to put in here now? Let's go with Kerry Banks. Kerry Banks of Omaha. You're going to get to hear my chat with her from yesterday. And then we'll come back and finish the bracket. Kerry Banks from Omaha. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. First question, just kind of a quick, not too far in the weeds, overall assessment of the regular season for your team.
Yeah, I think, you know, I saw a lot of really, really good things from our team. I think we, you know, got hit with the injury bug early, and that really kind of limited us. And I liked towards the end how we were picking up steam heading into, you know, conference play into the year. You know, we've been led by our seniors who have just been really solid throughout. So that's been really good and what you expect of your leadership amongst the group. So just excited to get to the tournament and see where we can go.
We have seen some really close games from you this season, like you kind of alluded to. So a more pointed question, what do you think that missing piece has been to kind of turn some of those into wins?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that was unique to this year, we weren't scoring the ball as much as we had, you know, previously. And so that was something that we kind of had to adjust to. I think, you know, our ability to rebound at times has we've struggled with that. So, you know, there's just been one or two possessions. I think, you know, during those stretches, obviously, we've had Cora out for the year, and she was a huge part of our success early in the non-conference. So that was tough. And then Ja was out here and there as well, too. I think just getting people accustomed to their new roles and playing more minutes, them having to grow through that and just kind of see what that experience feels like, where it's like, hey, it's night in, night out. You got to show up now. So I think that was an adjustment for all of us, for them. And I think they're finally kind of getting their legs under them and ready to show what they can do consistently.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned Ja Harvey, and that's someone that I do want to ask you about. She's been a great addition to the team. Has my vote for newcomer of the year. I think she's made her case for that. What can you say about her impact for you this season?
I mean, she's been everything. You know, I think she's a big reason why we have won and, you know, in the non-conference and in conference. And I think it's because she not only plays offensively, but defensively, she's leading the league in steals, you know, so she's playing both ends of the court equally hard. She's a hard assignment, I think. I mean, it's the kid is quick, you know, and she's one of the quickest kids I think I've ever coached. And, she just finds a way to get to the rim. She's shooting the ball really well as well, too. And so she's just really been impactful for us. And I think her attitude and leadership from day one have just been really, really solid. But, you know, I think it's evident when she's out of the lineup, we're not as successful. So I just think that, you know, what she's able to bring consistently has just been great for our team.
Absolutely. And a similar question for Katie. Katie's had different roles, as we've talked about in her years. She's been scoring queen. She's been assist queen. What can you say just about her ability to kind of adapt and do whatever she has to do for the team?
Katie Kaichus, she's just somebody that knows what she's supposed to be doing. I mean, she's a fifth year kid. She calls herself grandma. She is like, she knows where she's supposed to be at all times. She's kind of the quarterback on defense, just talking and getting everybody in her spots and all that stuff. So she's just somebody that on the court, it's like she's another coach out there. If there's something offensively, I mean, you know, these kids, sometimes they forget stuff. She's one whispering at a dead ball, like, hey, you need to get over to this corner, you know? So it's great having her. I'll be sad to see her go, but I've certainly enjoyed her time as a Maverick.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk some of the tournament. You have a matchup against Denver, which we figured that's what that was going to look like. I don't know how many times this has been the first round matchup between Omaha and Denver, but it seems like quite often. So you know this team very well, split with them this season. What are you looking forward to about that matchup and kind of how are you preparing for that?
I mean, me and Dosha are really good friends, so I feel like I'm not looking forward to it at all. You know, we always joke like, hey, let's meet in the championship game. And then here we are right back at it in the first game of the tournament. No, but I think, you know, obviously their last game against South Dakota, their kids are playing well. And she's played, I mean, I think I counted like 10 games where they had maybe under 10 points or less they lost. So I think they're a really good team. They're just a couple of possessions away. And as a coach, I've certainly, you know, been in that position and understand what that's like. So they're not a team we're taking lightly. You know, I think they're very talented in how they can score the ball. And I think defensively, they're trying to throw a lot of different looks at people between zone and man to kind of keep you off balance and stuff like that. JoJo Jones is what I think fourth in the league in scoring. So she's a tough assignment as well. And yeah, I mean, they're just playing really, really solid. And I think that, you know, the beauty of March is it doesn't matter what you did yesterday or even a month ago. It's all about this game. And so we're not taking it lightly. We're excited, you know, just to be playing and have an opportunity to extend our season.
Absolutely. And shameless plug to the fans who maybe are thinking about skipping Wednesday. A lot of the things you just said about Denver, you can say about your team too. You know, a few possessions away, just a few things here and there. This is going to be a game. And I'm so excited. So if you're going, you need to go watch this game. It's going to be great. All right. A couple of fun questions from Jordan. I know he's not here, but he left me some questions for you. He wants to know, what is your personal hype song? And is that different from your team's hype song?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I can say it on the air. Like, that is the funny thing about it. And that's the thing that my players joke with me about is because it completely is like, wait, you listen to that? So I love female artists. I'm just going to say that. I'm all about women's empowerment and just strong female leads. So yeah, I'll leave it at that. But yeah, why don't you ask one of the players? They'll kind of laugh and probably tell you.
Okay. I will definitely be doing that behind the scenes of this episode just for my own information.
Okay.
Last question for you. This is your fifth year at Omaha. You've had two championship appearances in that time. We know we can never count you out. What have you learned about yourself as a coach over these past 5 years in the Summit League?
Oh my gosh, how long do you have? I think first and foremost, I think this is a really good league for women's basketball. I have a lot of respect for the coaches in this league. I think we have really good coaches, good teams with great schemes. And I think it's evident by just, you know, the traffic jam, you know what I mean, right there in the middle of the league every single year, because night in and night out, it's so competitive. I think just you have to show up every single day and compete. It doesn't matter. And I think, you know, there are a lot of different styles of play and you've got to be willing to, you know what I mean? Just kind of, adapt to how the game is going. I think just continuing to motivate our players daily and kind of challenge them. That for me has seen the best results for my team is just being able to find individual goals and challenges for them. But the one thing I feel pretty solid about is that I felt like towards the end of the year, our team is getting better, right? You know, in February, March. And so this team has been no exception to that. So I would say that's the biggest takeaway for me is just continuing the teaching, continuing the process throughout the year so that we can be playing at our best this time of year.
Absolutely. All right. That's Coach Carrie Banks of the Omaha Mavericks. The Mavs will take on Denver in the first game of the Summit League tournament on Wednesday at 4:30 in Sioux Falls. Coach, thank you so much for your time and we will see you in a couple
of days. Thank you. Yes. Excited to see you guys. You take care.
Welcome back after a lovely chat with head coach Carrie Banks of the Omaha Mavericks.
Jordan, nothing like interviewing a coach right after we picked our team to lose.
I know. I was thinking about that when I made that pick earlier. I was like, I just talked to her yesterday. That was so hard.
Oh, it's nothing personal. It's just a podcast.
No, it's not. And they know that. Lovely chat with Carrie Banks. All right. Game three. Number one, SDSU versus the game one winner, which will be either Omaha or Denver. Call it bias, call it common sense, because of what we've seen, 62 straight regular season wins from SDSU. I don't think it really matters who we put up there until we get to like an ORU or an NDSU.
Yeah.
Maybe a St. Thomas, but probably not. So I'm going to go SDSU a lot. The other team, not as much.
Oh, jeez.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, I whether it's Denver or Omaha, I don't doubt the heart, but I'm going to go SDSU, and I have a score, but I guess who knows with depending on which team plays. I put 82-60.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. Also, I just want to let it be known, like, I used to be, like, the first year or two of doing this, I was, like, heartbroken when SDSU would lose, because I'm a Jackrabbit. My dad went there, my grandpa went there, my aunt went there, I went there. Like, it's just in my blood. By the way, Jordan, sorry, this is going to get loud because these are in wrapping, but I don't know if I showed you these on text or not. My mom made these for me.
Oh, my goodness. Sweet kicks. They have
both SDSU logos and the Summit League logo on them.
She made them for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she customized them. Yeah.
Wow. Aren't they an Under Armour school?
Yeah, they are.
I wonder if I could do that with USD.
Yeah, if you just go to like Nike ID or whatever it's called.
Oh, Nike ID. Okay.
Make your own. Yeah.
Are you going to be repping those?
As long as Ryan doesn't yell at me for technically wearing school apparel in the media room. Oh,
that's right.
But like if they're on my feet, nobody's going to see them. I don't know. We'll try.
Well, like Andy Dufresne said, nobody's looking at a person's shoes.
Nobody's looking at a person's shoes.
Shawshank Redemption for those that have never seen that movie. Sorry.
What I was saying, though, is like it used to be really hard for me to see SDSU lose. I think they've done enough. AJ said in our interview, their strength of schedule is still like 10th or 11th in the country. I think they've done enough to get themselves in if they do lose. It would be preferable if they were going to lose, that they lose in the championship and not the first round. But I just want to let it be known, if an Omaha or Denver does come in here and beat SDSU, I love that for the league. I love that for women's basketball. I love that for the team that beats SDSU. Like, will it sting a little? Sure. But I also love the chaos and the madness, and I would love to see that. So even though I'm saying SDSU by a lot, because that's what I think, that doesn't mean that I am not open to other outcomes.
And I would just be happy in general.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. Okay. Game four, number four, St. Thomas, number five, North Dakota, 12 p.m. on Friday. North Dakota has been playing. I don't want to say they've been playing well. Their results have been good, but like you ask Garrett Bruce, like it's been some ugly wins, like almost threw it away wins.
Yep.
And I just think St. Thomas is on too much of a heater. But I don't know.
It's tough to beat a team three times, right? So yep. I've got it. St. Thomas beat UND 76-71. That was up in Grand Forks. And then in St. Paul, they won 77-54 just a couple weeks ago. Go figure the 4-5. That's obviously the toughest one to pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably leaning St. Thomas, but I still don't know. I didn't really prep to make this particular prediction.
Okay.
Who are you going with?
I think I'm going St. Thomas, but let me do a tad bit of research. I Googled Joe Langman and a picture of Audie Crooks came up, and I was like, why is Audie Crooks there? But it was Joe Langman defending Audie Crooks earlier this year. Joe Langman is 6'2". Okay. Fatima Ibrahim 6'3". That's an even matchup.
All right. I think for the sake of it, since we've been pretty agreeing here with the picks, I will, and I'll feel comfortable making this pick. I will go with a team. I will go with UND.
Okay.
I think they will somehow, they will out-rebound St. Thomas, but I'm going to go Lee Corso by a field goal. We're going to go UND 65, St. Thomas 63, and the last minute takes 20 minutes to complete.
Facts.
65-63 UND.
I think it's going to depend if Swatima Ibrahim shows up. Not even a chuckle. That was a good pun.
What's – okay, you – like, no joke. This is my end fault. You froze. You're going to have to repeat. What did you – you're staring at me. What happened?
I think your brain froze, but it's fine. I said no. It's going to depend if Swatima Ibrahim, like the SWAT team,
I like shows that. Up.
That's like a good pun.
I like that.
I'm so proud of myself. I'm starting that on Twitter.
You should probably make a shirt before UND fans get their creative hands on that. Trademark
it. I do need the money.
Talk to our UND peeps and then you get like 18%.
I think Fatima should make the shirt. Like she should sell that on like her
ooh,
like
little NIL
meet,
thing.
Fans meet idols or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Swatima. Okay. I'm going to go. What'd you say? 65-63?
Yes. Don't feel good about that, but it is.
I'm going to go St. Thomas 61, UND 59.
Ooh, all right. Respect.
Thank you. Okay. Let's go through the next, like, see, this is the part that you guys can't hold against us because it all depends on who we thought was going to win.
Yes.
The opening round games.
Yep. Don't add us.
Okay. So we both picked Oral Roberts from game two, right? So the first quarterfinal game. We both picked NDSU as well, right? Okay, so if we go Oral Roberts and NDSU, I think ORU is coming out on top of that. I just kind of think they can't be stopped right now.
I know. That's how. What's the score? Do you think this one is a lower scoring?
Because NDSU's defense, yeah, I do. Maybe ORU 74, NDSU 70.
Okay. I'm looking back. Listen, I'm one of those guys that's like conference tournament. Regular season doesn't matter. Like it's – you throw it out the window. Mm-hmm. But I am curious what the first couple of matchups – am I – blind here? Why can't I find? Okay, so seven. So NDSU's beaten Oral Roberts at home. Why can't I find the ORU game at home against them? There it is. Okay, no. Okay, so then it was 100-84. Wow. Yeah, let's go with what I had written down then. I am going to go with. Who'd you go with?
ORU 70 for NDSU 70.
Boy, oh boy. I really want to pick NDSU.
Do it.
I know. They're just ORU such on a tear. All right. Here. You can have it. You can be credited when this is the way the bracket's going to go. I'm going to ride with the NDSU squad, and I'm going to go 88-81.
You think NDSU is going to score 88 points on ORU?
I don't, but that's the number I had. So I'm going to change that. We're going to go 80. There we go. All right. 80-73 NDSU.
I don't like
they're going to shoot. They're going to shoot over 45% from the field.
Okay.
Look it.
The other semifinal that will be on Saturday at 12 p.m. will be SDSU, and we split on St. Thomas UND. So out of SDSU St. Thomas, I'm going to take SDSU. I'm going to say 80 to 64. And if you had UND, so out of SDSU, UND.
Yeah, I think UND is leading after the first quarter, and then the other three quarters are totally dominated by SDSU. I've got, I've got SDSU winning 77 to 56. I had accidentally typed out UND. 77-56.
Okay. So that makes our semifinal ORU and, or sorry, our championship ORU and SDSU.
Yours.
You're making me go first.
Oh, I can go first. I've got the XDSU championship game.
Oh, that's right, because you picked NDSU.
Yeah, just to be different from you. It's boring if we do the same thing. All right, so I've got the XDSUs going at it, and this is AJ and company's tournament to lose. NDSU is very talented. I think they're young, though. So this would be a great experience for them going into 2025-26. But I'll take SDSU to win over NDSU. We will go 71-58.
I'm going to blow your mind, okay?
Uh-oh.
I think – so SDSU-ORU championship game. I think that with 4 seconds left, the game's tied.
Ooh.
78 all. And I think we're going to see what Coach Kelsey Music coined, the Jaylee jumper. And ORU's going to win it 80-78.
Whoa.
And it hurts my little heart to say that, but I just have a feeling that SDSU has been, I was certainly not flawless, but I mean, three losses to teams that are monsters, and one of those against Duke at home was certainly no help from the Stripes. That could have been one. There were some opportunities.
Hey,
I'm just saying. I think SDSU's had a damn good season. They've done is remarkable. I just think something wild's going to happen.
I can see them tripping up, though, right? Like, they've been some of these teams have had the number for a quarter or two, and maybe even into a third quarter, right?
St. Thomas
and
did.
They're obviously the best team in the league, but they're not invincible. I think USD and Brookings, the game plan, I've said this before on record, I love that approach to it, is taking one of the two-headed Meyer monster out, or trying to, mm-hmm. right? They took Brooklyn out, but Paige had a stellar game. There's been kinks in the armor, and if there's a team to do it, I think ORU is definitely the team to pull it off. Because we talk about matchups, right? Like, it's – the numbers and the seeds don't matter necessarily. It's the matchups. And if ORU can get by NDSU, and depending, you know, obviously we hope everyone's healthy and stuff, I could see it. No one's done it in 3 years.
Right. And I understand that. And I know that a lot of Jacks fans, and maybe that's part of it, why I'm thinking it is, like, it's just time. And like, I know a lot of Jacks fans, all Jacks fans probably are going to be like, what the hell, Madison? But at the same time, like, I think a lot of Jacks/Summit League fans are like, oh, ORU is good, but not good enough. I think they're good enough.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, really, I think St. Thomas has a shot. I mean, I know I picked them to lose, but we won't go there. Okay. Listen, come at me if I'm wrong. I'm going to be dead wrong. I always am.
As long as Amber Scalia is not bleeding from her head after a collision.
Yes.
With another player, I'll be happy. We need everyone to stay. And the fact that she came back after that is wild.
Yeah. The only teams that it's weird. Like the only team I don't feel confident in picking is my alma mater. I just don't like the way they've played. All the other teams, they're not limping as hard as USD is into this. And there's just something about the mentality for the Yotes that I think there's some players that just are kind of done. And I hope to God I am wrong. And maybe they pull off an upset, but the body language the last few games was just not encouraging.
I feel like USD this year reminds me of UND in Casey's last year. And, you know, Coach Bernhard said, like, we certainly don't put it on Casey to, like, have to do everything.
Yeah.
Casey's the type of person that just can and does do everything. And I think sometimes I can see that happening with Grace. And I'm not saying she shouldn't do everything because she's freaking phenomenal. So don't get me wrong. But I think sometimes it can be really easy to subconsciously kind of let that happen.
Yeah.
And then not get a lot of production out of other people. And that's actually something that some people might argue this, but when Maya Selland was in high school, she was the it girl, the do-it-all player. Like, it was literally the games that I watched at SCW were literally just passed to Maya. And if it works, it works.
Yeah.
But like at some point that stops working, because at some point, if Grace Larkins is all you have, you can triple team her. You know, somebody else has to be able to knock down a shot. Somebody else has to be able to get defensive rebounds.
And they've got, you know, like Alexi Hempe and Carly Duffney. If those three are all on,
yeah,
they're a really good team, but we just haven't seen them all on for a good chunk of the game. Like all together. Like, yep. That's what we thought we'd see this year. But no, it is what it is. I'm excited. Like you said, we're 26 hours away now, or right about that. Excited to see you. Excited to check out some Summit Women's Hoops, and I'll be at some of the men's sessions as well. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be intense.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take one more pause and drop in an interview with Aaron Johnson of SDSU. After that, we'll come back and give our parting thoughts. Welcome back, Summit League fans. We've got your second coach interview of the week, and it is Aaron Johnston of SDSU. Coach, thanks so much for joining us again.
Absolutely.
I want to start with talking about the non-con, where your only losses this season have come from. There were some really big wins in there, a tough loss to Duke in there, and then got absolutely pushed around and beat up a little bit by Texas. What this was a tough schedule. How do you kind of think that helped you throughout your in-conference season?
Yeah, I think it's been really important every year, but this year no different. You know, our first game at Rice, and Rice is coming off an NCAA tournament, had a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum. We didn't play well in that game, came back late, hit some couple of shots late, a big three late to win it. I think that game right there has kind of been a good example of what our entire year has been like. We've had to really, you know, grind a lot of these games. We're down and not playing well at Ball State, have to come back and win that game. The Oregon game out in Hawaii was very much back and forth. It was not an easy game. Duke was back and forth, and we were pushed. Didn't quite come out on the right side of that. Georgia Tech. So we had just so many of those games where we won a lot of them, lost a couple of them, where we were in them and really had to compete and try and make plays. And even the wins and losses, you can kind of look at and say, here's what went well, didn't go well, here's where we got to grow. There's just so many positives to that. And then to finish that, you know, non-conference season at Texas, who I think now is obviously one of the best teams in the country, a national championship caliber team, and not play well and have them play well and just be reminded that, hey, if you don't show up, you're going to get beat. I think those things are all good and all positive for us. So I feel really good about how it went. You always want a couple more wins, but I think all in all, it was a really productive, you know, first 13 games for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're a 1-0 kind of guy, a new day kind of guy, but if you could have a game back from the non-con, what would it be and why is it Duke?
You know, I think that Duke game, I don't know that it got away from us. I think had we made a few more plays, we could have won. They made the plays, and they certainly deserved to win. But we had a great atmosphere. It was First Bank and Trust Arena, and people were really excited about it. You know, for us, our goals are really high. We want to not only continue to do well in our conference, do well nationally, do well in postseason, but we also want to get to a point where we could, you know, potentially be one of those top 16 seeds. You know, I really believe that's something we should aspire to. But to do that, you got to beat a team like Duke when you get them at your place. You know, you got to take full advantage of that. And we were really close in that game, but just didn't quite get it done. They were a good opponent for us. It was a great game, great atmosphere that day.
Yeah, absolutely. And no discredit to Duke. Kara Lawson's built an incredible program. Yeah. I went out to Buffalo Wild Wings that day because I could not watch that at home without some liquid courage. I knew I needed to be out, and I took some friends. And I remember before the game, and of course I'm biased, you know, watching this league, but I remember before the game, one of my friends said, "Do you really think you have a chance?" And I said, "Just watch." And at the end of the game, they were like, "I was wrong." And I said, "You were." Thank you very much.
You know, it's First Bank Trust Arena, formerly Frost Arena. It is a tough place for people to play. We play well, for one. The atmosphere is off the charts good. And we've had some really good opponents over the years. A few we've beaten and a few we haven't, but they've been just great, great games, great memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Something we talk about year after year in the program that you've built is consistency and balance and depth. And that's no different this year. Talk to me a little bit about your senior class and just the overall depth and how that's helped you throughout the season.
Yeah, for sure. Those boring words that nobody really likes to think about, but they're really important words for building a consistent program. This year's senior class is got a little bit of everything. You've got Paige Meyer, who's been a starter for 4 years. Day one, she came in and she has been fantastic the whole time. You got Callie Tyson, who probably could have been throughout her career, but ran into injuries, things she had to recover from. And then you've got Mesa Byam and Maddie Vlasten, that both maybe early on didn't get to play as much as they wanted, but as their careers went forward, they've evolved into really good players. So really all three kind of arcs that you could possibly have as a player. But I think all three of those different arcs, all four players, emphasize how we've been successful. We can try and move all those different, you know, playing time careers forward in a way that they can all come to the finish line having an impact in what we're doing. Mason and Maddie have been fantastic for us these last couple of years and had great, great minutes, great contributions, been a big part of a couple undefeated seasons. You look at Paige and Callie, what they've done really from day one, it's been really impressive. And so for us, it's how you develop people. And everybody develops differently. Playing time opportunities come in different ways, but it's making sure we're doing everything we can to help people be ready when those opportunities come, and then they make the most of them. And our players, that senior class, deserves a lot of credit for their contributions, the things they've had to work through, the paths that they've taken to get here. But it's really fun to see all four of them contributing right now and our team doing really well with them.
Absolutely. Several times this year, you've held a very narrow lead or even been down at the half and gone into the half kind of questionable, but whatever you say at halftime seems to work every single time. Without giving too much away, what is the message, or how are you kind of motivating your team when you're down to UND at half or down to St. Thomas at half?
Yeah, I think people would be pretty disappointed if they really sat in those halftime meetings and heard us. They'd be very underwhelmed, I think. I think a couple things with that. I think one, we've had some halves or quarters where just offensively we just haven't made shots. And sometimes you can be down in a game because you're not playing well, plan isn't good, just not executing. And sometimes it's just as simple as, you know what, everything you did was perfect. We just got to find a way to get it in the basket. Take the same shots, run the same stuff. And we've had a lot of those. So that's why I think a lot of our half times haven't always been, ooh, we got to reset here. We got to regroup. We've had a couple, you know, where I feel like it's been a little more effort related, focus related, plan related. And so you have to try and make some adjustments during those times. But there have been plenty of times where I think we've played really well and just maybe hadn't made shots. Our last game here against St. Thomas, I thought we played a really good first half. But the second quarter, well, throughout the first half, we went 0 for whatever from the three-point line. It wasn't that they were bad shots. We just didn't make many. In the second half, we started to make a few more shots. And so it's not always an adjustment. It's maybe just trying to stay with it and create a positive message, a message of trust. So every game's a little bit different, but it's just really about responding to what's happening, trying to adjust where we can or reaffirm that things are actually going well. Just hang in there and it'll work out.
Yeah, and you mentioned the three-point line. I haven't looked at the stats, so this may be wrong, but on the last episode, Jordan had brought up that he felt like maybe in the past we've had players, Lindsey Thunick, Matt Agiber, Sidney Stapleton, whoever, who can shoot those big threes, and maybe this team hasn't been shooting as many threes. Do you feel like that's a correct assumption, or are we just kind of missing something there?
Yeah, I mean, every year feels a little bit different. This year, I think we're leading our league in three-point field goal percentage. We're leading them in three-point makes per game. A lot of those are generated from Brooklyn and Paige, what they're able to do with penetration kick or double teams with Brooklyn, or we just find open shooters. So I think maybe how we get our threes this year is maybe different than 3, 4, 5 years ago. That's probably very true, but probably shooting it as well as we have. You throw Haley and both Maddie's out there. Paige, a great shooter. Katie Vasika is a great shooter. We have, I think, a lot of really good shooters out there. I think the thing that's different this year is teams are just playing us differently. Every team kind of has their own unique plan. So I felt like in conference, we had like 9 different defensive game plans against us, 8, I should say. And it just, we just never really got comfortable like for 4 or 5 games. Here's how people are playing us, so let's play this way. So I feel like every game we had to adjust, and that maybe hurt us a little bit at times offensively. But all in all, I think our numbers have been good, and they kind of hold up to what we've done in past years too.
Yeah, and that's, we brought that up on the last episode too. If you're not SDSU and you look at what SDSU has done, why wouldn't you throw 8 different game plans at you? Like, that's, I think that's the best strategy, to be honest. So it's interesting that you say that. I know that you and I have, I've asked you kind of what music would make you bust a move in the past. I think we maybe discussed Duran Duran. Jordan wants to know what's on your game day playlist.
Well, I don't have a game day playlist, so I guess I wouldn't be able to just say, here's what I'm listening to before game. I like music. I listen to it a lot, but I don't know that I need it to get like hyped or get focused or anything like that. Lately, I've been doing just a lot of still kind of classic rock kind of stuff. I still like my 80s music. You mentioned Duran Duran. I still like that an awful lot. I've been listening a lot to Zach Bryan lately. I don't know if people, okay. You know, I don't know. I just, that genre, he's good. You know, I don't know what window he fits into, but he's good. But I don't know if there's a specific song. I think if I really want to just be in a good mood, it's going to be still classic rock. I think that's probably where I live most of my time on my own.
All right. Good to know. Yeah. I've got 2 more questions for you.
Sure.
And this one's from a little bit more of a personal perspective. Obviously, we know that I grew up going to Jackrabbit games. I remember the super long shorts back in the day. And you mentioned a name like Macy Michelson or Lexi Alexander or Jennifer Workentine or whoever it be. And every player in every team seems to have left a legacy. What do you think the impact of this team this year has been or will be on SDSU?
Yeah, I hard to define, but I would say this. They've quietly gone about one of the more successful seasons that we've had. Like you mentioned at the beginning, we've gotten 3 losses, Texas, Duke, and Georgia Tech. 3 teams that have all at some point been ranked, Duke, and obviously Texas still are in the top 12-ish. Every other opponent, we've gotten the job done. Our non-conference schedule, I think, is still ranked like 10th or 11th most difficult in the country, which, I mean, is incredibly impressive to think that we went through it with that much success. This team has quietly gone about having really one of the more accomplished years we've had. We've had a lot of good ones. And so I think this team is, and every team we have, is really compared against whatever the best team we've ever had is. It's just the assumption that that's what every year's got to be. And anything short of that is commented on. Anything that equals that is just status quo. And so I think this team has had to kind of find ways to make sure they celebrate the things that they've done, to enjoy it, to make sure they're understanding just how special this year has been. So they've kind of just quietly gone about their success. And I really appreciate that as a coach. They're a low maintenance group. They're not a team that just is really needy of attention and things like that. But I think it's our job to make sure they understand just how, you know, not only proud, but how successful they've been and how proud we are of their success and what they've achieved so far. Because it really has been a remarkable year up until this point with a lot of fun things hopefully in front of us. But it's been a fantastic year. And it just kind of feels like it's just another, you know, ho-hum year in some ways. And it really is. It's much, you know, more unique than that, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question. You may have just alluded to this or answered this, but What's your squad have to do to cut down the nets in Sioux Falls? You guys are coming in clearly the top dogs. It's your tournament to lose. How are you approaching that?
You know, one, you have to really continue to play well. You got to do the things that have been strengths for us all year. Paige has got to play well. We need Haley Timmer to continue to do what she's done. We need Brooklyn to do what she's done. We got to defend. We got to do all those basic things that have made us a good team. But I also think when you get into these tournaments, it's really not about consistency anymore. It's what can you do in that moment to find a way to win? There is no, we were close. You know, there is no, hey, I know it didn't go well today, but we got tomorrow. It's like, you got to have it. And so I think teams that do well in this tournament are really flexible. They're really steady, flexible in the sense that they can play different ways depending on their opponents, steady in the sense that they don't get too up or too down. There's always times where you don't play well in these events. And is that going to, you know, crush you, or is that going to be something you can get past and regroup within a game, not a day from now, but within that moment. And so for me, I always feel like that steadiness has to be there, that flexibility with what we're trying to do and how other teams try and stop you from doing it. I think I found over the years, those things are really important for us. And I think they are for most teams.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's Coach Aaron Johnson of SDSU. The Jacks will play in the Summit League tournament on Thursday, the winner of Omaha and Denver, a place you've been before too, right? All too familiar with. Coach, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you shortly in Sioux Falls.
Okay, thank you.
You know what I do in those pauses? I do the Jeopardy song in my head really fast.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, okay. Should I put that on the podcast? I'm not going to.
Bloopers. Let's do bloopers for the year.
If I had the energy to go back and comb through like all of that stuff, I would definitely do that, but I don't. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Coach Aaron Johnston of SDSU. I hope
Coach of the Year.
All three. Yes, Coach of the Year, Aaron Johnston. Hope you enjoyed all three of those interviews. Part of me wishes that I, you know, the scheduling would have worked out and we could have had one per week, but also I kind of like when we have these bulky episodes with a bunch of coaches. kind of fun. And we only missed one coach all season, so I would consider that a win. Final thoughts, Jordan?
Yeah, we'll have, you know, one, potentially two teams make it to the NCAA tournament, so it's not quite farewell for the season yet, but wanted to thank you, Madison, for this season, all the SIDs, the athletic departments that allowed us to, well, mostly Madison, to get to interview the coaches. When I was able to join, I appreciated it, and it was a blast. You know, and shout out to all of the employees, Sioux Falls Sports Authority, the Summit League. This is a massive deal for the city of Sioux Falls, and they've got top-notch individuals putting on a top-notch conference tournament, the best mid-major, one of the best overall conference tournament, basketball tournaments in the country. So congrats to all of those guys and gals who put on a great show, and very much looking forward Wednesday through Sunday over at the Denny. So appreciate you guys for listening. But I guess that was kind of like a farewell thing, even though I know we have one more as
at least one or two more
teams episode. Make the tournament. Yeah. But no, just wanted to send out those thanks and really look forward to Sioux Falls.
Yeah, you bring up a great point with the SIDs. I know we definitely need to do better thanking them publicly. And I'm not going to remember all their names right now. The names that pop into my head are Max Zerner from ORU, Bailey Zubke from USD, Miles Johnson from NDSU, Sarah Wetman from DU, St. Thomas, I can see your name, but I can't say it right now. Who is that SID? Dang it.
Tim would know.
It's not coming to me right now. Megan Glover at SDSU. What other schools are in this league? Oh, UND. I can't remember. See, the issue is the SIDs that haven't changed in years, like the Jared Foxes and the Megan Glovers, mm-hmm. I'm like, those names are burned into my head. Like, I don't even check if it's still them because I know it's still them. Some of the other schools have changed a couple times in the last years. So I'm like emailing a new person and then I can't remember. but all of you SIDs are wonderful. I'm sorry that I forgot your names. It won't happen again, mostly because I won't try to say them on the air again when I'm not prepared.
But shout out to all of them.
Shout out to all of them. All of them. I can't believe we're here.
Yes, we are. We're here.
It's so exciting.
Well, you're not here yet. You got to get through. Hopefully, you know, safe travels to you. Safe travels to everyone coming up. Just a weird system again. Of course, it's always at Summit League time. So if you come up from the south, please drive safe.
But the winter storm warning up here was from last night through tonight, I think, at least in the Mitchell area. So hopefully it should be okay in the morning. I definitely know it was worse down south. And when it started snowing this morning, it started snowing like hard and very quickly. Mm-hmm. And my dad said, well, glad I'm not driving to Omaha. And I was like, what? And then I remembered I was supposed to fly in today. But after my dog died, I got very sad. And I was like, I really just want to go home. So I flew home 2 days earlier and I came in on Sunday. So I probably would have been in Omaha overnight tonight if I had kept my original flight, because there's no way my dad would have been able to get down there.
No. Omaha looks nasty right now.
Yeah.
Safe travels, everyone.
Crazy. I wonder if I hope they left earlier.
The team. Who?
The team. Because they would be, they would be coming today.
Omaha apparently is in Vermilion right now. They could not make their practice in Sioux Falls. So they are practicing in Vermilion.
In Vermilion. Okay.
Denver looks like they've made it and are practicing over, I think the Pentagon, probably. So get here safe.
Yeah. All right. We will see you all tomorrow. I want to see people at that 8-9 game. So don't let me down, because I can't cheer from the media row. So somebody else has to do it.
We can't even foot clap. Is that a word? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like clapping with your feet.
Yeah. I've definitely like underneath the table, like hit the table a couple times during some games. I did that at when SDSU had the 9 seed and played Virginia Tech a couple years ago. And it was like, we were never going to win, but it was close enough a couple times. Yeah. I definitely like it subtly hit some tables.
It's okay.
It's okay. I don't think it was intense as Carrie Amy's coaching history, but you know what's funny? When we were talking about Dakota Wesleyan with her and Matt Wilbur and Jason Christensen, literally like 2 days later, I saw a video of Matt Wilbur from 2020 trying to sit down in his chair on the bench at the Corn Palace, and he missed it.
I remember. Yes, I remember that video clip.
Oh my gosh. It's like the video of when JD got a tech for falling out of his chair. Oh my goodness, I miss JD. We need to bring him back, like just for kicks and giggles.
Let's kick off the 25 season with having him.
Yeah, on. We'll be like, we know nothing about the Ohio Valley Conference, but welcome Coach JD. Okay, we need to go.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.